All right, how's everybody doing? I know Hal's on, and who else?
Olivia's on.
Hey, Olivia.
Hey, Hal's on.
Who's kicking us off?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I realize I'm always the first one on these calls. I was listening to the calls before I got on this one. I was trying to find Hal's secret ad.
Hal, what did you post in that ad? It was like five simple lines.
You know, I was just looking at it. I'm changing it again.
I'm taking notes.
Well, hey, anybody can write it. I don't, you know. What I found, I did it. I hate hiring people, so I changed it the first time. I got 146 responses, but a lot of them I noticed were they must not read the ad because they weren't qualified at all. I suppose that's true if you do a lot of hiring. I don't know. And then, so I changed it to, let's see if I can bring it up and tell you real quick. I was just in the process of changing it again because I got one gal I've got a meeting with, supposed to have yesterday. Because of the weather down here, we changed it to tomorrow. Let's see if I can pull up the ad itself. Yeah, job. Yeah, the first one I had, the position requires calling real estate leads. Average sale is $5,000 to $7,000. Work from home. Must have computer and internet connection and phone. Must have telemarketing background. The right person will be able to set appointments for the owner. Income possible $2,000 to $10,000 a month. Please submit paragraph of your qualifications for the job. Ready to hire immediately. That was the first one. I got a lot of responses, but a lot of them weren't. Just weren't qualified. And then the second one, maybe that's the second one.
Done.
That's the second one. First one was a little less than that. Now I think I want to put in there something about must have either telemarketing background or business sales, which I've done. And that's, if you can do that, you can do calling for sure, because that's not an easy deal. Plus, I got one guy the other day that sold diamonds, and I sold diamonds once, and that's one of the toughest jobs there is out there. And if you can sell diamonds, you can sell anything.
Nice.
At any rate, that's my take, but I'm going to change it up a little bit more because the last time in there I put in you must have at least minimum 2 or 3 years of sales experience, and I don't know what these people think sales experience is. It's not running a cashier at 7-Eleven. Again, I'm an old man. I'm real opinionated. So you guys would probably do a lot better than me. But I've gotten a lot of responses. I've really gotten about 8 or 10 people. And then I got real busy and lost a few of them.
Okay.
So I'm going to shoot out another one because I want to hire 2 people.
Sure.
Well, Hal, there ain't nothing wrong with old school, brother. I'm with you on that. I'm old for it too, so.
Yeah. Now, did you ever mention that it's a 10% commission job? Or
no, I just mentioned income possible $2,000 to $10,000 a month. I think that's very realistic.
That's kind of the way I ran mine too. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
But I also last night I watched the video again of that he had for in Denver when he had his deal where he was. Telling how you should structure your commissions, and I'm not doing it at all like he said, so I'm going to have to change it. I agree with him that if you don't put a bonus in there somewhere that could go away, you're going to have people that go in there and do real well, and then they're going to stop because people are basically mm-hmm. lazy.
Where's that video?
Stuff.
Is that in the?
It's in the. All the stuff we got, and I think it's under resources, or Mike can probably tell you where it's at. I don't know. Mike, you know where it's at?
Yeah, off the top of my head. I'm not remembering which module it's in, so.
It's easy to find. I mean, there's so much stuff in there. I've been going through them all the last couple of days to see if I can gain some knowledge of where I'm at, because I need to get this thing rocking.
If it's a win-win and you guys both agree to it, you and whoever you're bringing on, that's fine, right? I told you, Rob's was working a sliding scale from 10% to 20%. his salespeople are making the offer, though. So if you just have somebody setting you up, 10 to 15, you know, could be right
that's
in
plenty,
there.
Yeah.
And then they
yeah.
can move to 20. I was talking to Mike Riley the other day through email, and he said, I'm just going to set it at a flat 15 and go with it, keep the complication out of it. So, you know, I just replied, hey, if the two of you agree to it, you know, pretty hard to argue with. If it changes or moves over time, that's fine, because I told you that Rob and Brad made an adjustment last week, and they basically it's a little bit complicated to explain by phone, but they're not doing the 10 to 20. So they set up a couple of prices. I don't even know if I'm going to try to explain it. It's a little more complicated. What they realized is that sales team was killing it, and there was money left over, but they didn't feel like it was enough for, you know, the two of them running everything, putting the whole deal together. So they came up with a different scenario. The sales team is, you know, they're still getting paid, but they're running, working off a base. They have a lot more expenses. They're running a full-time construction manager out there because they're selling turnkey rentals. They both have office staff, that kind of thing. So anyway, I wanted to be transparent about it, but the point here is find something that works mm-hmm. for the both of you, and it's probably in that 10 to 20% range.
Yeah.
But
in
let
fact,
them, you know, if you don't go 20 out of the gate, that's fine. Tell them, hey, you're just going to be setting me up. Let's start yet, you know, 10 to 15, whatever works, and then as they get more involved and learn more and start making offers and understanding the deal, then you can bump them up then. So there isn't really a right or wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to change mine, because I'll tell you what I was going to set mine at. I really want them to do the whole deal. But I want them,
right.
The reason I want them to set me a couple appointments is so that I get a feel for it myself, since I've been out of it a long time, and I really don't have the time to do it anyway. And I got this one gal that really looks good. We'll see. But I'm going to pay her 20%. But I've got a different look on mine. I mean, I got money coming in for my houses, a lot of money coming in on new construction that will be coming in, and I
yep.
want to spend some of my time over there. So this is just extra money for me.
Yep.
So
however you want to set it up. That's the thing.
Yeah.
There isn't one, right? That's the conclusion here. There isn't one scenario that's right across the board. It's just not how it works.
But if you look at that video, it might be helpful to you guys, because it was to me, because I got to thinking about it. You could really, by just a flat deal, you might shoot yourself in the foot down the road. At least listen to what he has to say, you know.
Well, resources like is Blitz 2.0 is what I just saw, so I don't know.
You know what? I don't know. While we're on the phone, I'll see if I can do it, and then I'll chime in if I find it, okay?
Okay, that'll work, man. Appreciate it.
John, how did closing go?
Hey, man, the wire hit the bank at 3:32 p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time.
I'm putting you on the spot. Talk us through this sucker. I know the story. John and I have been recording the testimonial the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And, so I know some people heard a few bits and pieces about it over the last few days, but we were talking about launching a new market for a little bit. You procrastinated on it for a while, whatever reason.
Yeah,
probably.
At least, it was fear because, you know, everybody's comfortable in their home city, so, you know.
Yeah. John happens to live in a market that's good. I mean, if you were to run the numbers.
Yeah.
He's in Birmingham, numbers are good. So he started out working there, and then, you know, we were pushing him and saying, you got to go a second location. So take it from the top.
Yeah, I struggle with delegating because I've always done everything myself, so that was the biggest hurdle there too. So we started August the 1st.
All right.
I had a VA, and I put out an effort for Bird Dogs, and I got one that's doing it, but he's really awesome. So got some leads, and my VA's doing the calling and setting me up for the kill, and this is one that I called the guy, and you know, he has code enforcement liens. He owes the SBA for a small business loan that they're, you know, they're about to go south on, and you know, he's behind on taxes for 5 or 6 years, so he's real motivated. And it was a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, 810 square feet, with the football field growing on top of it, and the vines growing through it, and got under contract for 45. And so I kind of teamed up with a local wholesaler as a partner there, because I don't have any real buyers yet. And he, anyway, he told me it needed to make it a 3-2, you have to put 120 in it, which is crazy. It's hard to believe, but that's the way they say that market is. So anyway, got it under contract from the seller on the 3rd of September, and the buyer signed his contract, the end buyer, on the 6th, and we closed today. So, and he made, we ended up, there was a third party, the guy brought this buyer who ended up paying $72,000, and we had to pay this third guy $4,500, so... So our spread was 22.5 between me and my partner. So we split that. Still a good split list.
50-50, right?
50-50, yes.
Nice.
Because he had gone over there, and, you know, I mean, he had buyers too, but they weren't really offering enough. It was only a couple of 3 days, you know, so bam.
Yep.
I mean, how can you argue with that? And then it closes in 8 days after that. So
incredible. Found
the
market.
The title company was awesome, man. They went above and beyond, you know, and as a matter of fact, I had the UPS overnight a package to her that she was supposed to get today. And she closed because I emailed her to docs, but she had to have the docs to disperse the funds. And the UPS never came. And she still wired me my money. So.
When?
How did you find the title company? Because that's somebody clearly you want to work with again.
My boy. Oh, yeah, they are awesome, man. I've never seen, I mean, this lady, man, she's the bomb.
Cool.
You know. I mean, she called me to make sure I got my money and everything else, man. I mean, I've never had anybody do that.
Yep.
So.
That's awesome.
But that's the quick story. So,
John, a little bit of fear, a little bit of hesitation,
yeah.
Finally push through, and then you go 45 days from chosen market to check in hand or wire.
Mm-hmm. That's
next
right.
Next time, no more fear, no more hesitation, yeah?
Yeah, we say that. But it's always there. You know what?
It is.
I've been doing that even talking to sellers and making an offer. That's the hardest frigging thing in the world for me to do.
It's always there, right? What's cool though is that you talk about it, admitted to it, you blew through it, and then you put a check in hand in 45 days, which is killer.
Yep. So now we're cranking it back up again. You know, I kind of had a hold on it, which is not really good to do, but I kind of had to because of my situation.
Yep.
But we're good to go now. And I got another contract here in Birmingham today that's supposed to close as soon as title's back. It's already assigned. And it's a small deal for $4,000, and working on another one that I've already got sold. If I can. Work out the contract. So.
Beautiful. Here's the thing about momentum, right? And we all know it. Hard to get it moving, but once it's there, it takes less effort to keep it. So that's the plan
right.
This time, yes?
Keep pushing. Yes, sir. I'm not letting up.
That's right. Beautiful.
I've already burned a tank of gas, and it's going to go fill up right now. Ha ha.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Good stuff. That is good stuff.
I'll say.
Hey, this is Hal. I found that where it's at, if you guys are interested.
Cool.
But I need
hey,
to ask you, Mike.
It's in the coaching center, right? Or are you in some other product of Rob's that you have?
Well, that's why I better ask you, I guess. I was Real American Wealth. That's what they signed me up to. And then they told me the product vault. When I go in there, you got Success Teams Coaching, right?
Yep.
But here's the crazy part. If you click on the picture, the Success Teams Coaching, it takes you to what we all have. But if you click on the blue thing right above it, it says Success Teams Coaching, it takes you to Blitz Wholesaling.
Is the video in Blitz or the coaching center? It's in Blitz, right?
It's in Blitz, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not everybody has Blitz.
Okay. Well, all it was is Rob Swanson. I know why now, because I had a ticket to go to that, come to think of it. And I had it scheduled to go to Denver, and then I couldn't make it. That's probably why I have it. But it was just something they had there that he was explaining about, Rob was explaining about different ways to compensate people and what they've learned.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And I'll be completely transparent, like I have been, about how Rob's paying the sales team. So I'll keep everybody in the loop on it if you have any specific questions about it.
But Mike, there's one thing you might want to know, or maybe I should call the company, is my, when I log in to mine, it says that your website thing has been revoked, the certificate. And it's been showing up for about a week now.
Huh.
Probably doesn't mean anything, but.
Yeah, send me an email on that. Sometimes the different firewalls or different protection on your computer will pick up some of that stuff, and it's not, it's product specific. I forward all those to the tech people. I don't really speak their language. So, yeah, shoot me a note on that, though. Because I've been in there and haven't noticed it, so.
It just started showing up. Yeah, so it might be just my computer, too.
Yeah, shoot me an email.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, sure. I'll chime in real quick on something else, and I'll let somebody else talk. But speaking of being transparent, I've been really, really diligent about, when I approach sellers, fully disclosing what I'm doing.
Yep.
And, you know, like I got a guy that's got a townhouse, you know, and I told him, I said, man, I got this one guy, and he didn't offer enough. And I said, I got another guy who wants to look at it Monday. So, I mean, and they're cool with that, you know. So some people may not be, but I just felt so relaxed. And you know, before I used to just worry about it day and night, and used to eat me alive. So, you know, but.
And it's right. It's just the fact that you're just telling them exactly what you do. Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
It gives you peace of mind, and it helps you have better conversations and be more effective. But the other thing is, with the changing landscape that we all work in, we have to operate that way. I mean,
you
just have to get used to it because of what's going on. And it's all about, you know, there's that video in the coaching center on intent and capacity.
Right.
What do you intend to do, and do you have the capacity to do what you said your intention is, right? And so what they're cracking down on appears to be, and again, we're not attorneys, but it appears to be investors who are out there misrepresenting what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And they walk up, I'm going to buy your house, I'm going to pay cash for it, yada, 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 and then things start to unfold, and, well, no, I'm going to assign it. I don't have two nickels to rub together, and then they're backing out of contracts and whatever. So, you know, right, laws typically are going to protect the consumer. They're seeing that we're the investor, not the consumer. You know, we think it's positive. It'll thin some people out. You know, some folks they're not going to know how to play ball, or they're going to hear about a lawsuit somewhere and get scared and this, that, and the other. I mean, we can still do everything we've always done. Just tell people, right? Be honest and upfront. Tell people what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's Rob's script. Here's my name. Here's what I do.
Since I don't have capacity, I even carry it one step further. I just say, look, you know, this is what I'm doing. You know, I've got a 10-day inspection clause in my contract. And if I can't do something in 10 days, I'll be straight up with you, and then we'll part ways. No harm, no foul. And I mean, and it's talk about something that I was feared of saying, you know, because you don't really know how people are going to act. And I'm sure it's going to happen one day that they're going to say, you're crazy. So
they won't say you're crazy. They may say that scenario doesn't work for me, but so what?
Well, there's one guy who I made an offer on his house this past weekend. I told him, he said he had a concern about that. I said, listen, that's just the way I do it. So that's fine. So.
Hey, on the capacity side, real easy to fix. Three options.
Yeah.
And everybody can fit into one of the three. A, you have your own money sitting in an account somewhere that you can cover it with or that you could prove you could cover it with. B, proof of funds letter from a private lender that says they back your business. C, proof of funds letter from a hard money lender. Hard money lenders are asset-based for the most part, and so to get a pre-qualification letter from one is usually fairly simple. So if you want to get the capacity component taken care of, which is a smart thing to do, those are three options on the table. You have it, a private lender has it, a hard money lender has it. Then
yeah, with that you have to have the both contracts executed. So
well, not for a proof of funds letter. What a proof of funds letter will typically say is that so-and-so has been approved or whatever. Now, they're going to review it on a case-by-case basis, but it at least shows that you went out and are talking to a money source that you have a relationship with.
What I'm saying, if it came down to it and they're funding the transaction, they're going to want the end contract. So.
Right.
Or, you know, if you're buying it, I guess you've got the contract, so it doesn't matter. So. But you still have to have an exit strategy, is what I'm saying, if they fund it.
So the landscape's going to change a little bit. So let it scare some people away and keep playing by the rules. And like John said, you know, Rob has always taught that. I mean, he's never come out of the gate and said, mislead people up front and you'll make more money. Never once. Just be really clear on your intent. This is what I do. This is how my company works. This is how we operate. Are you good with that? And if yes or no, if yes, you move forward. If no, then find somebody else to talk to. Yep. Good stuff.
Cool.
And congrats, John. It's a killer story.
Thanks. More to come.
No doubt. Who else is on? I think I heard Quinn chime in. Who?
Malik is there.
Hey, Malik, what's going on?
I'm good. I got things rolling all the way now. I have two salespeople now.
Okay.
I have four bird dogs down now working for me. I did encounter an issue, though, because they're starting to send me the lead, but when it goes into FreedomSoft, I'm not seeing the address. It's going into the notes section, and everything is coded.
That's where it goes.
But I see is code. I don't know if I did something wrong or what.
Are they just sending you an email? They're using HomeSnap? Yeah, the address should be in there.
I gotta go revisit it. Because, I directed them to HomeSnap. They downloaded that app, and they've been taking pictures and sending it to me. And then when I look in the notes section, it's just a bunch of – everything looks like it's coded.
Yeah.
Hey, Malik. Can I chime in on this? This is Tommy. I had one of my bird dogs that had that same issue, and we've yet to figure it out. So I've just been having her actually email me, and then I forward it to my VA just to prevent that. Because for some reason, we've tried every different way. But out of all my bird dogs, she's the only one that's having that issue. So I don't know if it's something to do with their phone.
Okay.
Do this for both of you. Do this. Give them the unique email address tied to the campaign. Uh-huh. Tell them open up their smartphone and save it as whatever they're going to call it, Houston Leeds, San Antonio Leeds, whatever. So just like you meet somebody and you put in their name, phone number, and email, this time they're just going to be, right, whatever they name it, and then that email address. Don't have them use HomeSnap. Have them take a picture on their smartphone then email that photo into that unique email address, and in the subject line, type 123 Main Street, put in the address. And then tell them if the numbers are not on the house, pull up HomeSnap, and it'll help you identify what the address is.
Okay.
For whatever, it's missing numbers. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And that way, Tommy, you don't have to – you're out of it because you don't want to create another step for you, because that's not a good system when things run through you.
Right.
They can go straight in there. You don't have to get it to your VA. Give your VA access to that campaign, and now that's another step eliminated, right? We want this to be as clean as possible. So Bird Dog goes straight to FreedomSoft. VA logs into FreedomSoft, has permission to access that campaign, starts to skip trace them, and just change the status as they go.
Okay.
And it's nice and clean.
Thank you.
All right? Yep.
And now also, is that I've been looking for a contract as far as to sign between me and my salespeople. I can't find one.
Yeah, you're going to want to do the states are a little bit different, so you're going to want to jump online and find an independent contractor agreement for your state.
Okay.
Yep. They can cross boundaries, but sometimes labor laws will be a little bit different state to state. That's one of those areas that I'll just tell you how Rob does it. When he's going to launch in a new market, he meets a real estate attorney, and he just says, you know, I need an hour of your time or two, and gets his questions lined up and just says, how do I do this? Just that's how he does it. So just get, you know, that's a handy person to have on board. I realize that you pay them by the hour, by the phone call, whatever the case, but heck of a lot cheaper than screwing something up. So that's just how he does it every time. So, yeah, you want to find if you go to Google or, like, some of the LegalZoom places, we'll have contracts drawn up. You'll find them for, you know, for free that you can download. A couple of them you'll pay a few bucks for. But you can just grab an independent contractor agreement from online.
All right. I'll go ahead and do that.
Anything else, Malik? That's killer, man. Four Bird Dogs running, two salespeople. How many leads have the Bird Dogs brought in? Just a number.
On numbers, I've had I got everything squared away yesterday, and today's day one. I've gotten seven leads so far.
Okay, so we got to step on that, obviously. Do you have a VA ready to skip trace or two when they start coming in?
Yes, I have my VA ready. I need to go get the workflow, the automation going. Is there a video for that as well to help me set everything up?
Yeah, so if you just go log into FreedomSoft, and the far right tab is the classroom. Click on the classroom tab, and then that very top section on the right-hand side, it says workflow automation. It's right there.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll go ahead and get that started.
If you have any questions on it, let me know, because all you do is you build the workflow sequence one time, and then you'll log into your campaign, and over on the right side of the screen, it says workflow automation, and you just select it from the dropdown. And then all those statuses and tasks will automatically be set up for every lead that comes in. So it's real easy to connect.
All right.
If you get stuck, let me know.
I'll definitely do that.
Yeah, good stuff, though. Here, throw a little if you have four Bird Dogs and it's day one and we only have seven, are we driving right now?
I didn't hear that.
I said you have four Bird Dogs, and this is day one, but only seven leads in the door.
And two sales.
Yeah, I only have seven so far.
Incentive to throw on the table. I know it can be kind of late depending on which market they're in, but maybe tomorrow, you know, if two can drive or three can drive or whatever, shoot them a text. And say, hey, first one to get me 25 leads today, 50 leads to get, hey, I'm throwing in an extra whatever, and put some money behind it, get those leads in the door. Because you need to get that VA to work, and then you've got a couple salespeople that need something to do.
Yeah.
So, good stuff.
All right, I'll go ahead and get that text message out.
That sounds good. And then whatever free time you have, you've got to be tracking buyers. buyers. So that when those salespeople tee one up,
we've been doing a lot of cold calling on the buyers. Should I continue doing that?
Yeah. So there are a lot of tips in there, obviously, but you can use FreedomSoft to do it. You can use ListSource to find buyers. You can find buyers in Craigslist. Sometimes they'll post, "I'll buy your house." I buy houses. We buy houses. Look online. Facebook group of investors in the area. Start reading through comments in there. You know, you'll be able to tell who's legit. Shoot them a private message. You can reach out to property managers in the area and see who's buying. Sometimes hard money lenders, right? They've got a pulse on who's buying. A lot of different ways to do it. That's going to be your primary goal. Make sure that the leads are coming in, they're getting skip traced, get them to those salespeople, and then you've got to start building that network to move them on the other side, get those salespeople paid, lock them into place, all right?
All right. Here's a quick funny story that happened to me a couple of days ago. I get a knock on my door, and this guy asks me if I don't mind moving my car because he has a truck coming. And we just start talking, because he just purchased a house across the street, and we just start talking. I let him know what I'm doing. And he said, "Hey, take my phone number. I buy all these houses all the time. Anything you can find, I'll buy it from you."
Unbelievable.
Just like that. I said, "Wow, you just stepped up to my door."
That's awesome.
So, yeah, he said, "As many as you can give me, I have a group of guys, and if it's a rental property, I'll take it. If it's a buy and flip, I'll take it. The only thing he said he doesn't do is war zones. Other than that, he said he'll take anything."
Holy smokes. Telling you, you build a big buyer's list to bump into five of those people. You have you have five people that are looking for multiple deals every month, and you'll never struggle to move a house again. I mean, unless you tie up a bad deal, but you won't do that either. That's killer.
Yeah, one of my buyers that I contracted with today, Mike, he's closing 31 this month.
I'm telling you, man. These people are always in the market, no matter what it does. As soon as it crashes, they'll be in the market. They're in the market now. Just a matter of finding them. So, Malik, you can go into your market into the Cash Buyer tool in FreedomSoft, because your skip tracer is just sitting there waiting on leads. They could skip trace some buyers for you. So put in your state and city, and then hit the advanced button and go back the last 2 to 3 years and pull that list, and then grab like the first 5 or 6 pages of those will all be the buyers who have bought multiple properties. It'll sort them from most properties purchased to fewest.
Okay.
So that's something you can get over to your skip tracer now ahead of the vacant leads that are about to roll in.
All right.
Yeah, man, you're right there. That's good stuff. It's coming out of the gate fast.
I got to move fast. I got a baby on the way, so.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
What's due date?
Due date is December 1st.
Boy or girl?
Got a boy coming.
What are you going to name him?
Malik Jr.
JR.
I love it. That's good
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Congrats.
We call him MJ already. That's his nickname. We call him MJ.
I love it. First kid, second, third, fourth. Where we at?
That's my first kid.
Oh, man. There's nothing like it. That's cool.
Right now, we're following every single rule you're supposed to follow with the new parent stuff, so we're extra careful now.
It's funny because...
You're supposed to eat that? That might not be good for the baby.
we heard other parents tell us this, but, you know, the first baby comes out and you do all that stuff. You have the second one, and about 50% of those go away. You have the third, and you just let them lick dirt. I mean, you just don't care anymore. That's cool. Congrats, man. That's good stuff.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
All right.
Who else?
Hey, it's Quinn.
Mike, it's
Quinn. Quinn, you're alive.
Yep, just barely.
How was it?
I still don't have power at my house, but we're staying about 20 miles away with family. So,
is your house in one piece?
Yeah, we were fine. My neighborhood has about 50 houses in it, and there's probably about 40 trees down. So,
wow.
I mean, wow. We live in my neighborhood's called Pine View Circle.
Yeah.
And
it's
getting less and less of a pine view.
No more pines?
No, one neighbor lost four pine trees.
You got those skinny Florida pines?
I don't know how skinny they are. Depending on how big, I'm 6'2", and I can't reach around it. I can't hug it like a fat woman.
No, that's not skinny. So where do you live?
Pine trees, not palm trees, North Florida, live oak, way down upon the Suwannee River.
Okay.
How strong were the winds there at your house?
We had 100 mile an hour gusts. I mean, we're at the very top of the state, and in the as far inland as you can get. I'm an hour and a half from either ocean, the Gulf or the Atlantic. So, weren't
Josh,
that bad, but
Josh sent me that picture of a tree that was down with that big root ball up in the air that he's standing next to. So, that's crazy.
That's everywhere. I mean, like, and
yeah, I bet.
Just power. I mean, at the end of my street, like three pine trees took out all the power lines that go behind our house. So.
Right.
It's crazy.
What's ETA on moving back?
They said that they're saying Sunday, but that's not going to happen. It'll be a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, FPL for some reason has no help here. Our little local co-op is running circles around them, getting everybody on, and they had way more damage. So crazy.
Yeah, but crazy.
Totally.
Well,
crazy.
I'm sure you've talked to Josh. Let me know where you guys are at. I told him, you know, step on it with a. It sounded like you had. Couple salespeople, and we had a conversation Monday.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Where you at?
We picked up, today our new sales, acquisitions guy started, and, I mean, he's blowing it up, because I get updates from FreedomSoft every time he makes a change in communication or whatever, so I can keep track of him. And so I think I've got probably 40 emails today from FreedomSoft. For some reason, not tracking his phone numbers, phone calls, but.
Anything under contract?
Nothing yet. Looks like he's left a lot of messages. Nothing.
Okay.
No communication other than left voicemail, left, text.
Okay.
Whatever.
It'll start happening, though, with consistent effort. How many hours a day is he putting in?
Today he took about a 2-hour lunch and he started at 11 o'clock. So, and as far as I can tell, I'm not getting it. Our phone systems, everything went out. In Suwannee County, all phone lines, everything in town went out at 4 o'clock today. So no internet, no nothing. So, but by then he was pumping out probably 10-20 calls an hour. So,
nice.
Yep.
Just a matter of time.
It is, and he's Josh. Him and Josh went on kind of did like a two-way or three-way call where he was just listening. Josh was listening in, and.
Nice.
He's like, this guy's a salesman. I was like, I know.
Like, perfect.
Because Josh, hates people. I mean, he doesn't hate people. Him and my wife, we call them, they got a PhD, people-hating disease.
Yep.
And they just dislike talking to people on the phone, so Josh thinks anybody who can talk to somebody on the phone,
can do it. Did he fill you in on, we were talking about your dispositions guy and the conversation that needs to be had there because you can't be giving away 50%.
Talking about the guy.
Did he fill you in on that?
No.
Yeah. I told Josh that, you guys should phrase it as, hey, here's what's going on. We just hired, a couple salespeople. We can't, we got to pay them. We're paying for the marketing. We can't be at 50% anymore, but we can ramp the volume way up. So let's get... let's drop the percentage, but let's get more deals in your hands. Because if you're going to pay 10, 15, 20 on the sales side, 50s, that's just way too much for disposition, especially when you're teeing up these leads that are
so good
in these deals. 20, you don't really want to be higher than 20. It sounds like this guy is pretty solid gold. You know, he's been building the network there for 40 years.
Yeah.
So maybe 25. I mean, you're basically handing him checks.
Yeah.
So I was telling Josh, you got to have a conversation. That 50's got to go. But let him know that you can ramp the volume way up. So.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. And I told Josh and I when we were talking about it a couple of days ago, I said, the other thing is we have two other strong buyers out there. One guy that owns 200 properties already, and one that's the we buy ugly houses guy. So
yeah.
What are we, you know what I'm saying? Why are we only sending them to this guy? Because Josh has only been sending, I think, you know, he said he had to him. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing about it is you go to those other two buyers first to take the whole check. And then if you're not able to move it that way, then go to that guy's plan B plus get a percentage down. Yeah.
Yep. And I know we can work on, you know, both areas of that. But like I said, we're just at the time when we did it. And the other thing was, too, is, and I know Josh did explain this. He did say a little bit of what you're talking about, but he did say this. So the deal that we brought, the first deal that he closed for us was a deal – that we've already had it under contract once and brought it back to him, you know, 90 days later after it was already out of contract. We brought it back, you know, got back under contract because he was like, I got somebody interested that would buy that house. And and he got a $7,000 profit on that property, and we couldn't get an offer for what we had it under contract for 3 months ago. You know, so
that's
kind
a big
of a
deal.
Little bit of a. It is.
That's
it's
the
a
thing
big deal.
Is it?
So the $3,500 that we paid him, and the $3,500 that he gave us, you know, which we netted $3,000 on, is not. We couldn't even get $1,000 on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We couldn't find a buyer of $1,000. But there's a balance.
Yeah, it sounds like he's a valuable connection. Just find the win-win, and you know, you guys are. At the end of the day, everything starts with the lead. I know it takes all sides, but you just can't give away 50%.
Right. So, I totally agree. And I got another guy that messaged me on Facebook that goes to church, Josh and I, and he's in phone sales right now. And I think I'm going to just put him on disposition.
Yeah.
Straight up, he's already calling businesses and talking to business people about selling them gas. So it should be a smooth transaction, you know, transition for him.
Should be easy. Here's the thing on dispositions. When you have a great buyer's list in place, that side's even easier than sales, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So just be ready to pay accordingly. You can go up to 20% on dispositions. You don't necessarily have to, though, because, you know,
I don't think we'll have to.
That's the easier side of business.
Yeah, you know, my only concern about this guy is him and his wife have flipped a contract in the past, just one.
Yeah.
So I'm not really interested in hiring entrepreneurs. I want to hire, you know, employees type folks. So,
You know, I tell you what though, you know, Rob's lead sales guy, Chris, was an investor, just kind of struggling a little bit, so kind of knew the game. And they've got him in, and he's working out great. So,
I agree. It can work.
Go through the process, but somebody that's driven and entrepreneurial, whatever, on a 1099, and they understand how they can go get it, and the quality of leads that you're bringing, you can recruit talent into your businesses. So, you know, whatever you guys think. But, good stuff. Glad to hear from you. Glad you're alive. I sent out a handful of emails after that tornado hit, and you took the longest to get back. So luckily, Josh told me you were okay on Monday.
For whatever reason, it got stacked in my email because we weren't getting phone calls and email, you know, service.
Right.
It got pushed to the bottom. So, we're good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Any other questions?
I think, just like I said, we're finding the, like I said, I think I understand. Acquisitions is our next move. We got to get on that as soon as possible. We got to get somebody closing coordinator.
Yeah, just ramp up these salespeople. Right. You got, there's no reason with this number of leads and your background, level of experience, right, we've got to be at just multiple deals a month and then a week here in the next 45 to 60 days. And it's right there because you've got this database of leads that are just sitting there waiting to be called.
Right.
So this is my feeling says this is going to ramp up really quick. So, yeah, be ready for – you're already talking dispositions, and then, like you just said, transaction coordinator. You know, not to use a timely analogy here, but prep for the storm, right? Because it's about to come. So get the pieces in play.
And I can feel it. I know. I mean, I know what we're. You know, I know that thing.
Yep.
I know with Josh and I. You know, it's like with the new sales guy coming on. I was telling him today. I'm like, man, we gotta listen. This is the kind of guy you need to tell him that, oh, yeah, you know, the slowest guy in this business does 500 calls a day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What?
Let him have it. Yeah, let him hear it. Yep.
Yeah, because he's not going to be – if you don't give – because I'm the same way. If you don't give me – like, listen, I want my goal in this business is to do 1,200 houses a year. So the only reason I want to do that is because I met a guy who's doing 1,200 houses a year. I see it can be done. I'm like, cool. Okay, what do I got to do?
Yep.
No, that's what I'm working towards.
That's your 12-minute mile, and you met somebody who broke it. So now you know that's possible.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, I know that's possible. So what? What are we waiting on? So I got a sales guy now, or you know, acquisitions guy that can do. You know, when we get him a process down, when he knows what he's got and knows how to work it. You know, he don't mind doing two or three deals a day. You know, he don't mind calling until he gets one every day.
That's the thing is, if you you're about to turn over a great lead, so set the bar at a contract a day.
Right.
They have to be making offers to everybody they connect with, and then obviously, first couple days, week or whatever, when they're not getting a hold of people, that could be a little challenging. But if somebody's willing to push through and they say, that's my goal, they'll call until it happens. But as the pipeline starts to fill and follow-ups and conversations, it's realistic.
Yep.
No question.
Is.
No question.
Yeah, that's our goal. Get to 1 week, then 1 a day, and then, you know.
Yeah, and then, it'll, you, know, and then you put multiple salespeople in, and, I mean, you see how it can scale. It's just more of the same, right? And then you and Josh manage the whole thing. So, all right. You've got some sales things popping. It sounds like you have an acquisition or a dispositions person that you're thinking about. Continue that conversation. And then up front, you guys will be fine with a contract transaction coordinator. Just put them on.
Right.
When these things close, you get paid as well. And then if you bring them full-time in-house at a later date, that's great. But that way, you know, you're still not setting up anything out of pocket because everybody's paid at closing. So,
right.
Yeah, find that person. Good stuff.
Yep. So, I guess that's my question is just, you know, am I thinking right? The other thing, I guess my one question was this, and Josh and I had a discussion about this week. When do we bring on our second market?
Soon.
You know,
I'd like to see you go. Here's the thing. You have a bunch of leads, but you want to stay ahead of it. Because you guys are, if you're going to the numbers that you're talking about, you're going to have a sales team of 1, 3, then 5. I mean, you're going to have a lot of stuff happening, right? So I think you go get a dispositions person on board, get a transaction coordinator on board, get your next market ready.
Right.
So get some personnel locked down because you have plenty of leads for multiple salespeople to start working through to get the deals on the board. And then when that piece is moving, go hire a bird dog in another market. Plug them in.
Right.
And then what you guys will have to do, your transaction coordinator can also be a leads manager, right? You've if you have 3,500 leads, they're coming from different sources, so you have to prioritize them because you want your sales team to be as effective as possible. So then it comes vacant leads first. You can use the FreedomSoft vacant tools second, and then I know you guys have some other stuff out there that you can start to prioritize. But
We got plenty now of ways to get leads. So you know what I mean. Not that we're going to stop looking for ways to get leads, but that's a we got a lot of ways that work good. So.
Yep. Yeah, and you don't need 20 ways to get leads. You need a couple that are effective, and then just be consistent, right?
Yep.
And then scale it to different cities. So, yeah, good stuff. Who else?
Our goal is to close. Yeah. We'll close 10 in Tulsa, and then we'll move on. Get 10 contracts.
Yeah, you have a full time salesperson, in this batch of leads. You ought to be in 10 here in the next 2 weeks.
Right. Yep.
At least have 10, at least have signatures, right? Next 2 to 4 weeks. You got to have 10 contracts on the table. That's very realistic. So, good stuff.
Sounds good.
Who else?
I'm here.
Hey, Mike.
Tom.
Tom, and then I think I heard Larry before Tom. Is that Larry that chimed in?
Yeah, I was here earlier.
Yeah, Larry, go ahead, because I heard your name 10 minutes ago.
No worries. Yeah, that house, that rural place, it didn't end up closing because when they pulled title, it found out that he had a lien against his house for $22,000.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know about it, huh?
He said he forgot about it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So, and I was only going to get a place for $30,000, so that kind of fell through.
Right.
And then... So I'm off of that, and then I got to interview a sales lady tomorrow, so out here in my area. So I'm moving ahead, and I got to start with the bird dog out in the Florida area. So.
Yep. How many do you have a bird dog or bird dogs out working?
I do not yet. I got to still get that going to get the Craigslist ad going. So.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're having sales conversation, I love it, right? Anybody that you want to run, knock yourself out. That's maybe slightly out of order, but I'm not even worried about it. Just make sure that if that conversation goes well, you want to get that person on the phone ASAP, right?
Yeah.
So what you could do is pull a vacant list from FreedomSoft, start skip tracing it right out of the tool. And then as soon as you have skip trace bird dog leads, swap them out and tell your salesperson to put the priority on those.
Okay.
If push comes to shove, do you have a VA on board that can skip trace?
I was just going to do that myself right now. So.
Yeah, let's get a VA. Go post an ad on Craigslist for bird dogs and post an ad on Upwork.com. There's a video in the coaching center on both and find a VA that can skip trace for you.
Okay.
Hire somebody that already knows how to do it. Ask them what tools they have access to in your ad on Upwork.
Okay.
So that you can send over leads and get results within 24 hours. All right?
Okay.
Yeah, you're gonna have plenty of CEO oversight, so you don't need to be in the middle of skip tracing.
Okay.
Yep. Anything else we can answer for you?
I think that's it for now. I'm just kind of disappointed I'm not closing, but it is what it is. So.
That's part of the game. Let's go put 5 to 10 in the hopper, and then when one doesn't close, you say, oh, well, I have 4 more.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, good stuff, Larry. Keep your foot on the gas. I know you will.
Okay.
Tom, you want to go next?
Yeah. Yeah, so I had two guys that were that I interviewed, and they seemed okay. But I did the disc test, and I sent you those results. They're high in D, but they're also high in C and not so high in I. One of them's pretty low in I. One guy sounded like he's pretty good salesman. It sounded all right. Until this woman called. And then out of the blue, she called me before she sent anything and talked my ear off for about an hour and a half. A lot of personality. She sells medical devices.
Yeah.
And she sounds really good, actually. I'm pretty excited about her. I told her all about it. She doesn't know anything about real estate. She was very fascinated with the idea. Who knows if she'll do anything. I've had a couple people sound real good, and then the next day they said, well, I thought about it, and I'm not going to do it. So we'll see where they are with her. The other question is, okay, so one of those guys sounded pretty good, but his disc text is not ideal.
It's normal to have two things, right? You can it depends on the shape of the disc test. There are a lot of different shapes. When it goes left to right, DISC, a lot of you have seen what these look like now. You can be high in two areas. You can be high in one area and then drop off. Typically people have a dominant, but some folks will be kind of through the middle on all of them, even though one will be higher. So if you think somebody's moving around, hit a star 6 for us. Sounds like you're wrestling gators. Must be Quinn down in Florida, gator wrestling. Tom, if you have a good conversation with them and they have a high D or a high I characteristic, give them a shot.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna see what this woman does because she was real personable and actually had the best conversation with her than anybody, and she was interested in it. I told her the whole thing. I tell her I'm new. I don't know whether I don't want to. I want to tell them straight out. I'm starting this new market, so I don't really have that many buyers yet. But that's going to change quickly. But we need to get properties first. It's going to start probably start a little slow, and then it'll pick up a lot. But I don't know whether I turn people off and how I'm saying it. I'm trying to be really honest and transparent as to what I'm doing. And
honesty's fine. If you say I'm new, hey, I'll be honest with you, Tom. I'm new, but I'm working a system that my mentor has been crushing it with for decades.
Right. Yeah, that's what
I still told you. I still told you I'm new. I'm still honest. I just backed it up with some factual data about what you're doing. So, yeah, nothing wrong with being open and honest. Absolutely. But don't come across like, I just woke up and decided to do this, because that's not the case. You're plugged into a group and a system here that works.
Yeah.
So.
And one of the guys was like grilling me, like, well, what group is that, and who do you do, what are you doing? He went to some fix and flip thing in Denver, and I paid $1,500-$1,600 or whatever, and it was a bunch of crap, and he actually got his money back, but it took a lot of fight to get the money back, which shows you that he sticks with it. But I don't know. Seems like he's asking an awful lot of questions, but I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Questions are always a good thing. If you're in if you're in sales, and the other I'm trying to sell you something, and you're not asking questions. Questions show interest.
Yeah, both of the ones that I think are the two best ask me a lot of questions. How does this work? What's up?
That guy parted with $1,600. It doesn't matter how much you make. That's a good chunk of money. He parted with $1,500 to go learn about real estate. And then all of a sudden you and him are on the phone, and you're talking to him about calling real estate leads.
Right.
So, yeah, he was interested in real estate long before talking to you, it sounds like.
Yeah, and so is this woman. All her friends are saying she should be in real estate because she sounds like a – real personal, like realtor type person that likes to talk to people. I mean, she talked forever with me, but it was it wasn't like I was like, "And I got to get off the phone." She was really fun to talk to. So So I got those coming up. So that's pretty good.
It's really good.
We'll see. Now I got a question for you.
Okay.
The postcards. I had something I wrote out before, and I lost it, but I can't remember what I was supposed to say with that because I don't have anything yet. I'm sending these to potential buyers, but I don't have any deals. So I don't know whether I should wait or just send them out and say, hi, I'm a investor that finds
send them
properties.
Out. See, I've got a massive marketing campaign that's about to drop, and so I'm getting ahead of it. Yeah, are you still buying? Let's talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just wanted to know. That's a good phrase. I'm looking for a good phrase, and I wasn't coming up with one. So.
Yep.
Okay.
I charge a quarter a good phrase.
Well, I owe you a lot then. I have a massive campaign.
About 50 cents, as far as I can track.
You must work on volume, huh, Mike?
That's right.
You better pump up the volume if you want to live or eat.
So what did you say? You have a massive campaign about to drop?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I should be
getting ahead of it.
Yeah. Getting ahead of it. Okay.
Yeah, just say I have a massive marketing campaign about to drop. If you're looking for great deals in the next, whatever you want to call it, 30 to 90 days, let's connect. Here's my number. Put a time frame on it. Find people that have money to spend.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, definitely get it out there. I mean, you heard Malik.
Or
Malik just kind of walked into that one, but
yeah, no
before a deal is on the table, and a guy tells him, "Bring me anything you have. As long as it's not this, I'll take it. As long as it's not in the war zone, I want it. Rental, flip, whatever." He doesn't have a deal on the table yet. Not that he was talking to this guy about, from what I heard in the story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't have to have one. You can meet buyers with or without a deal on the board. Yep.
Okay. That's about it, I guess. Making some calls to some sellers. I found some more potential buyers in some of the areas that I didn't think were there because of the slow Allegheny marketing. System.
The county. Yeah.
The county with ListSource anyway. And I just called back the original guy from Vietnam who took off and disappeared. Called him back to see if I can get that back under contract. So at least I have something in that area, and at least I can test the waters over there. So I got something real, because that's a decent deal.
I'm telling you, when deals fall out, like you've had a couple go, but these are the deals that close 3, 4, 5 months down the road. That's how it is. That's why, you just start filling the pipeline. I mean, you'll find people that are ready to close now, but not everybody will be. So that's where, don't change your phone number in case they call you. Use FreedomSoft to help follow up with these people, and you just keep dripping on them. That's how you fill up the pipeline. So
you'll call the other guys, too, just for the hell of it. They say they're going to keep it, but...
If you have a number, you can drop a note, you can drop a text. Hey, I know you decided to keep that house. Just check it in if you want to sell. Let me know, Tom.
Yep,
absolutely. That's just the selling process.
Yeah, so I'm gonna can't wait for her to respond, because I'm gonna send her a disc test, and I think I'm probably gonna go with her.
Cool.
Start. So. All right, thanks.
Yep. Who else? Updates, questions?
Hey, it's Darren.
Darren, what's happening?
Yo!
How the heck are you?
I'm doing well. I missed you guys for the last couple calls. I was...
Were you in Croatia?
...in a wedding marathon. What's that?
Who'd you marry?
My brother got married. And then...
I already know you're married. I'm just joking. Who got married?
Yeah,
family?
Yeah, I'm married. My brother got married, and then the week before that, my cousin got married. So,
nice.
A lot of travel craziness, but got a few good things going on. I spoke to 4 bird dogs here in Cleveland yesterday, so I'm going to get this market up and running. And
yep,
I've already got a pretty good network built here, so I just figured it was time. I got a story to share with you because I'm sure this isn't going to be the last time this happens, but I started telling you guys about 2 or 3 weeks ago that we got this property under contract for $40,000 and said that it needed a rent, a roof, but currently there's tenants in the house and it's livable. It just needs some repairs and whatnot. So we're like, okay, so it probably needs like $10,000-$15,000 in repairs. And then after we started sending buyers through it, they started sending us pictures of buckets everywhere inside the house, like catching water. So we called the guy back, and he's less than friendly. He's very uneducated, number one. You could just tell by his vocabulary. And then number two, he's not very nice and just says, listen, I'm selling this house for $40,000. I'm not coming down. It's your problem. Like I told you, I'm selling it for $40,000. So anyway, we kept pushing. We had a buyer at $35,000, and then we finally got him up to $40,000, and then finally he just sent us a text message today that said he'd be talk to his partner and he'd be willing to come up a little bit more, maybe possibly to $45,000. And so we went back to the seller and just said, hey, we've got a buyer and whatever. And he's like, oh, forget you guys. He's like, I got a buyer already at $50,000. I sold the house to somebody else. And so, I know this is going to happen. I don't know if I just move forward with my buyer and then I've got a valid contract signed by this guy. So.
Yep, you do.
What's your position on that?
Yeah, I've watched Rob fight those on a couple occasions.
Really?
Here's what I want you to do. Send me, a couple ways to play it, right? When was your contract valid through?
Oh, gosh, we've been doing it for 60 days, so I've got tons of time. He might have...
He already sold it? Has it already closed?
No, it hasn't closed. It hasn't.
Okay.
I don't think it's transferred. But he says he's got a buyer for $50,000. And he said, you know, he's just been a real dick, to be honest, from
so
the beginning.
He's maybe... He could be bluffing, first of
yep.
all. He could not be.
Yep.
Send me an email reminder into that on that one. Because I want to,
okay.
I want to get Rob's input before I answer, and then I'm sure
okay.
some other people on here are curious, so we can talk about it
yeah.
again on Monday.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
I figured. I know there's got to be more than one of us that's going to run into this crap. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to think the last time that happened, they put a stop on the title. So that's why I was asking you because this is really similar to what he did. I remember this story. It's from a couple years ago. It doesn't happen often, but it was from a couple years ago.
Maybe I just drop a lien on it?
Yeah, I can't remember how he did it exactly. That's why I want you to send an email into the coaching center, and then I'm going to ask him.
Got
what
it.
Happened?
Okay,
I took a quick
cool.
break real quick. What happened?
you missed it. Darren he's got a deal under contract, and the seller said he sold to somebody else. Hasn't closed yet. So he was asking, should he let it go or fight it?
Oh,
and I was
telling him
that happened
to me.
I remember a story. Rob, he went back and tied up title with his contract the last time it happened. But I was telling Darren, I don't remember exactly what he did. So I told him to shoot an email in, and I'll run it by Rob.
File an affidavit, a memorandum at the county courthouse. But that's supposed to stop.
Do I have
to
physically go to the courthouse to do that?
Yes, you have to get it recorded.
Yeah. So I'd have to send somebody to the courthouse with this to go get it recorded.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can Google affidavit or memorandum and you'll get one. That's kind of what I did pretty much.
Gotcha. All right.
Or I can send one to the coaching center if you need one. So
that sounds good. I'm just not sure how much effort I want to put into it, you know.
That's the other part of it.
Something else, you know, but the guy just really ticking me off because he's been a real jerk from the beginning.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is he just gets real smart about, you know, how he's been investing in real estate for so long and we don't know anything and And then I'm just thinking, okay, well, why do you have your daughter living in a house that's pretty much going to be condemned or nearly, you know, if you're so successful with your real estate business, I was like, why do you let your daughter live in such shambles?
What do you say?
So, I don't know. I don't know.
That's
hey,
the thing, Darren. I want to get Rob's input to you, and then you decide what to
okay.
do moving forward. There's no right or wrong here.
Well, what happened to mine real quick, I can tell you what happened to mine.
Yeah.
Whoever got it under contract from this lady behind me, you know, she had two contracts on the same time. Well, he flipped it to my best buyer, and they didn't know about me. And then their title company called me wanting to release it, and then she never called me back. And, you know, I didn't want to screw my best buyer, and I didn't know what I was going to do about it. And what they did was they kind of just waited on my contract to expire. They can do that. Even though there's still a cloud on the title, there's something they can do, some kind of a mechanic, something they can file to get over it in Alabama. So it's really not worth it in Alabama. So,
oh,
interesting.
Weird.
Yeah. All right. So they got around it anyways, even though you did it.
Yeah, they got around it. But I wasn't going to push it because this is one of my best buyers, you know. I wasn't going to screw him over.
Well, I'm pretty sure.
Well, he didn't know it. You know, he didn't know when he made the deal, and he's the kind of guy, he tells me, you know, he walks the property and gives me a quote right after he views it on the spot on what he can pay.
Yeah.
And he closes every deal that he says he's going to close without question. And, you know, I mean, you just can't.
Did you tell him that you had a contract on it and he went forward with it anyways?
Didn't know it was me. He didn't know it. And I didn't find out till they had closed, till they were about to close, and because anyway, but it's just one of those things, man.
Find out is who actually bought it, because it's Allegheny County and Allegheny County doesn't report right away. So I may not find out for a year who actually went ahead and bought this house.
Yeah, you could record that memorandum and it not get recorded.
Yeah. Does anybody have that type of problem where you send a buyer over to the house and these buyers just kind of, they watch your website and they kind of wait for things to expire and then they just go and they call the seller themselves and wait for stuff to expire? I don't know.
Yeah,
doesn't happen,
do that,
Darren, probably, but when you're tying up good deals, you know, good price, have a buyer's list. Not many are going to expire. It'll happen.
You're going to sell them.
But you're going to sell them. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Cool, man. Good to hear from you. No more weddings this year?
No more weddings. Just I'm going to go to Josh's event here in October and go see Barbara Corcoran.
Corcoran,
so,
yep.
I'll see you in Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Vegas,
baby.
Who else? Update.
Hey, Mike.
Question.
It's Mike.
Mike, what's happening?
Well, I found a guy I think that wants to do sales. So
cool.
Basically, I think I'm ready to go. I emailed you the other day, so I think I'm going to do like a 15% commission right now.
Yep.
Just to get him more interested, and then maybe, you know, a little bit later on when I have more stuff in the pipe, I'll just, you know, say, hey, if you can hit this number, you know, I'll bump that up to 20 or whatever. So you're thinking right now,
I'm losing it. Can you hear us?
And then I'll have to call you back. You can't hear me?
I can't hear me. And then it started sputtering.
Oh, how about now?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. So you think I should just start out by having him be a setter and just calling and just setting up an appointment for me to call back and then and talk to him about getting it under contract?
I think so, but if you want to go through some training up front and say, here's what you're going to do,
You know, ask them, you know, you can go through a script and you can build in. Have you thought about what you would sell the house for? You know, do you have liens against it? Do you have mortgages? Is there a second? Once they get all that data together, they should at least, if they haven't made offers before, they should get the data, schedule a time to call back, bring you the data so you can help analyze it and say, this is the number we're going to offer, right, if they've never made offers. So, you know, I mean, that's the thing about it. You got somebody that's sharp and they're good at math and they get it and they can pick it up quick, then, you know, I'm not going to tell you to not just have somebody go write the offer because it takes it off your plate. But at the same time, there has to be a certain level of confidence there that they can run accurate numbers, right? So.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And I think I can get there with this guy. I mean, I've known him for quite a while. He used to work for Level 3 Communications in Broomfield. He was our he was our sales guy from Computech until they went bust. I mean, you know, $1 million So I'm thinking he can do sales.
Yeah. For sure.
But in the past few years, he's just been doing, like, contract sales for, like, a landscaping business. But now his dad passed away, so he like, moved into his house, which is in Raton. And I was actually at a party a couple weekends ago, and he was just saying, yeah, there's no opportunities there. And so he's going to try to get into some sort of online sales or something. I'm like, hey, I got a great idea for you.
Yeah. How about this?
Yeah.
That's killer, Mike. So. Yeah, see, I think somebody like that that's sharp, you know, have them set up a time for you to call back and then have him listen in on those conversations.
Okay.
But there, you know, there's no reason you can't teach somebody who can pick it up quick how to be making offers in the first week.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'll do that then. I'll just have him the first couple maybe. I'm going to turn him loose here. I just didn't know because all my leads are in Atlanta if I should wait with the storms and everything going on or just because he's like, I sent him the video to watch and sent him the script and he's like, okay, got it. What next? So.
Yeah. 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 Have him get on the phone. People are buying.
Okay.
People are buying. I sent an email to, Larry, I think you're still on about Jacksonville. Should be fine if you're still listening. If not, I can email that to you. But yeah, I was wondering, Jacksonville got hit pretty hard. We have a big FreedomSoft user down there. So I shot him an email, make sure they're okay. And then, what do you think's going on with the market? He goes, I think we're going to be fine. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, can I ask you, where is that video that you just mentioned?
Which video?
For training a salesperson.
It's in Real American Wealth. I can't remember exactly where. It's Talking to Sellers, it's called.
Talking to Sellers, okay, yeah, okay.
They actually let you download it.
Okay.
Yeah, have them watch all the videos so they just get accustomed to FreedomSoft.
Yeah, it's probably a better idea long term.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he ends up being on the team. Yeah, you want your sales team in FreedomSoft. You know, the way we do it is Bird Dogs are bringing leads into campaigns, and then we set up a campaign for the salesperson. So, you know, whatever this guy's name is, Mike, have a campaign in your account. There's nothing in it yet. That's the only campaign he has permission to see. And then as the leads get skip traced, you can just move them over, right? So you go to the source campaign, which is the Bird Dog campaign, and then let's say you have 20 that are skip traced. You select them, the little boxes, go to the gray toolbar. There's a button up there that says campaign now. Select your salesperson campaign, click apply, and now those 20 leads are viewable in two different areas. So you want them to stay in the source campaign because it tracks all your stats, right? How many leads has this Bird Dog generated, that kind of thing. But now your salesperson can see them in their campaign and they can't see anything else. So they just go in, log in, click My Campaigns. There's one there, opens up, and they just start working the leads through the statuses. Nice and simple.
Hey, can I ask a question somewhere along those lines? You know, I screwed mine up, but my source campaign on mine, they're in the trash. How do I get them out of the trash?
Yeah, just move them, open the trash, select them, and then there's a move to button, click inbox.
Oh, okay. Move to
inbox. Move to's in the gray toolbar. Yep.
Okay. And what about confirmation on leads and stuff? When should you confirm those? What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we just, I mean, if we're talking to buyers and they're in the system, we have permission to talk to them. So we confirm them right there.
Leads are coming.
Yeah, leads are coming in. We confirm them.
Okay.
Right. The thing about it is you could technically it would, I guess it should happen after a conversation and they're open to it. Right. I mean, if somebody says, don't ever call me again, don't confirm them, keep them out. But
right.
Yeah. So yeah.
Okay, cool.
After that first conversation. Yep.
All right. Move to inbox. Gotcha.
That's it. Move
right.
to.
So yeah, Mike,
that's,
I had some problems
in
the leads. Yeah, I had some problems importing the leads back in after I had them skip trace. It'll do like five or six of them and say it's done, and I don't know why. And the rest, maybe because it's Excel and it has some weird symbols in it. I don't know what the skip tracer did, but I'm probably just going to export it to like a CSV file and clean it up.
It has to be CSV. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say.
It'll do Excel. Yeah.
It should force you to upload a CSV.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a CSV, but I opened it in Excel, and I think it might have got some weird characters in it or something. So
you know what?
I just got to take a look at the raw text file.
I've had this happen from time to time where a FreedomSoft user says, hey, this file won't upload. And I said, you know, email it into the support center so that I can download it, put it on my computer. And all I did was do file, save as, same name, select CSV, resave it, and then it converted it to the proper format. So, Mike, I think it did exactly what you're saying. It removed some of the funky characters, and then they uploaded. So just try that. Just try a save as and resave it as CSV and see what happens.
I'll try that quick. That's probably going to work because that should remove any codes or anything like that. So I'll give that a shot.
And the other thing, too, is sometimes if they're on different versions of Excel and then you've got, like I had a more frequent one, a newer one from last year or something like that. And then so when I saved it, it got rid of all those characters and it worked. So my guess is that'll do it.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
And Mike, since you're a computer guy, if that doesn't work, just ask yourself what would, and then go with your answer, and that'll work.
I'll give that a shot too.
I was gonna call Geek Squad, but then I was like, wait a minute, I could just ask myself. That's that's how Mike lives.
I was one of the original Geek Squad guys back in 1991, before Squad actually, in a Best Buy in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Are you being serious?
I'm serious. Yeah, we had our Best Buy there was open only like a couple of years. They actually took an old broom closet, literally a broom closet, cleaned it all out and put a desk in there. So
yep,
that was Backpacker Bell days. Yeah, a lot of DOS. It's mainly DOS stuff, but yeah, when Windows 2.0
awesome.
Came out, yeah, we thought it was amazing.
You are the original Geek Squad guy. I had no idea you were famous.
Yep.
That's great. Will you, put your signature on a disk drive for me and mail it in, would you? On a hard drive?
When we moved here like a year ago, I threw away more floppy drives and floppy disks and boxes of stuff.
The thing about those is even if they have financial data, you don't have to destroy them because nobody has a disk drive that'll open up the info on them, so don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's funny. All right, we got sidetracked from real estate. That's a cool story, though. What else? Did we cover everything, Mike? Or any other questions? You've got some things moving, so get this salesperson on. Let him turn them
yep,
loose.
Yep, no, I'm
Watch
good.
What happens.
I'm good.
All right, beautiful. All right. Who else? Anybody?
It's Larry again.
Hey, Larry.
When you're trying to get a house in a remote market, and how do you get boots on the ground out there to say, yes, the house needs X, Y, and Z done to it instead of like what I just heard the homeowner giving half information on what's wrong with the house? Is there
the first answer is we don't buy houses in remote markets. So that's not very helpful for you. So
We would usually pay. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Remote. I thought you were talking out in the boonies again.
No.
Yeah, we
no.
we pay a bird dog like a $25 trip fee.
Okay.
And say run out, turn your phone sideways. You can have them take photos or video, both work, doesn't matter. But yeah, tell them I want one from just kind of teach them. We always call it walk up, walk through, walk around.
Uh-huh.
So walk up to the house. Are the top of the front doors, is it straight? Does it look like anything's off? You know, you can look at the tops and bottoms of windows, make sure they're perpendicular to the ground or parallel with the ground. Is the roof sagging? Have them take a bunch of photos or shoot a quick video.
Okay.
And, anything that looks concerning, have them take a really good picture of it or pause the video right there. Count to three so you can get a good look at it on the video. $20 to $25.
Okay, to your bird dog that's in that area.
Yep, and here's the thing. We typically don't even get a video because we're going to end up sending buyers, and they're going to give us feedback on what it is. So we talk to the seller, ask them a bunch of questions. Most of the time they'll be pretty honest. You know, we just heard Darren say that, you know, the seller said, hey, it's not in that bad of shape, and he went there, and it was like a rainforest inside with buckets everywhere. So that'll happen. But a lot of times you'll get pretty good feedback. And then when you're sending a buyer, like if you're my buyer, I'd say, hey, Larry, here's the deal. Here's the address. The house is vacant, so you can get in there at any point today, what time you go, and yada, yada. And I'll just tell you, here's the condition that the seller told me the house is in. Bam, 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 bam. Go take a look at it. You know, let me know your feedback. Let me know if you want it, that kind of thing. But now, if it's not in the condition that I just said, it's not on me. Here's the condition the seller told me the property was in. Here's the work they told me it needs. So you're not a liar. You're not misleading. None of the above, because you didn't go inspect it.
Okay.
So if you feel like you need somebody to go, bird dog, $20 to $25. But I'm just telling you, most of the time, we just send buyers. They'll tell you all the feedback you want to know.
Okay. Well, I just don't want to get stuck in the same place like the other guy I was just listening to right now, where the homeowner said there's not much wrong with it, and the people going in there saying there's buckets everywhere collecting water. And
You know what? That'll happen, but it'll be more common that you go up and the house is fairly close to what they say.
Okay.
Just depends. But, yeah, don't worry about it. Because that's the thing about, you know, Darren can go back to his buyers and they say, hey, this thing is trash. And you go like, wow, you know, the buyer told me it was this way. It's good to know. So that said, you know, does our price still work for you? And just blow right past it and see if they want it.
Then usually, like, let's say I don't live near it, and the owner doesn't live near it. How do they usually get in the property? Like, inside, do they break in, or
yeah,
what do they?
Yeah, when you go under contract and you have signed paperwork, or while that's going and you have a verbal acceptance, that kind of thing, you say, listen, I told you how I work. I've got great buyers in the area. They're going to want to see the property and the inside. I know the house is vacant, or in this case, it was occupied. How can we get people in? Even better than that is if you can put maybe, right, send your bird dog out. Do you have keys? Can I put a lockbox on it? Of course, you'll have the code to it. Is everything boarded up? That's where you just got to start asking questions. Do buyers need to come with a hammer or a screwdriver to open up a door? Because that happens too, where, you know, the buyer's going to say, hey, the whole thing's boarded up.
Yeah.
And you say, great. You know, what we typically do is I'll just tell my buyers to bring a hammer. You know, what's the best place? Do you remember what's the best place for them to get in? And then they'll reboard it up when they leave. So that's just one of the realities. But, yeah, you have to have that question. Here, ask that question.
Okay.
Figure out how you're going to get people in. But, yep.
Sounds good.
If it has working locks, we will do whatever we can to have we'll pay a bird dog like $20 or $25 to run out there with a lock box. You know, we buy the lock box. You'll have like your lead bird dog who can do this for you. And they can go put it on there, put the keys in it. But it just, there isn't one way that works every time. It's just kind of the nature of it.
Okay, perfect.
That's also a task that you could have a local real estate agent do for a trip charge, and then you have somebody licensed on site. Either way, we've done it both ways. If we have a great relationship, you know, like in Memphis, Rob and Brad will send their project manager, the guy that's running the construction. They have a great relationship with him. He's on payroll, that kind of thing. So a few different options there, though. Yep.
Perfect.
Good questions. Yeah. Anything else?
That's it for me.
Okay.
Excuse me. Yes, I have a quick question before we go.
Yeah.
As far as if I want to automate my direct mailing and I don't want my my VAs to have my credit card information, how do I set that up?
Yeah, good question. I mean, at some point you're gonna have to pay for direct mail. So, trying to think in FreedomSoft. I mean, at the end of the day, to upload a list into FreedomSoft, to merge it up real quick and send it is less than a 5-minute deal when you know how to do it. And here's the thing, we have VAs that have passwords to all kinds of stuff. So it's not that a VA can't. Or the other thing you could do is one of those prepaid cards and put that in if you're worried about the financial information.
Okay.
Do it.
Oh, because
yeah.
With the workflow automation, as far as sending out the letters once we've verified the vacant houses, all of that, my information already have to be in there, right?
To send out the – so that one goes through – if you're just sending a one-off, that goes through – click to mail and they charge
click
you 81 cents per to your account. But your account's already set up.
Okay.
That's how that piece works. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to buy credit with them.
Yep.
Okay, so you just buy the credit and then just use up the credit.
But nobody's gonna run rampant on your click to mail account because there's no value to it. So yeah. Yeah, that's how that one works.
Okay. I'll set it up that way.
If you're sending one offs. Yep. Good stuff.
Nobody
else. Anything
else go?
Quick before we wrap it? What's that?
I'm saying.
Hey,
I got a quick question. Go ahead.
I'm waiting for somebody to beat John's 45 days from generating first lead to closing.
I'm getting close.
I feel like somebody can do it.
I'm getting close. I might get something next week.
Malik says game on. I love it.
Game on.
Yeah, John.
Hey man, I have a question about a property. I get all these guys trying to do virtual, and then I had another guy had a property, and he wants me to help him find a buyer. So I go buy it today, and he gives me the lockbox code. I was going to look at it and give him my assessment. And what happens? It's in a not so nice neighborhood. And there's a dude sitting up there in a chair with a table on the front porch having lunch or dinner or something. And I see the lockbox on the front door, and essentially he's, I guess, a squatter. And of course, even though I was packing, I didn't get out because it was kind of, you know, in the evening kind of almost, 4 o'clock. So it's not the time to be getting out when everybody's out in the neighborhood, so. I drove by a few times, and he's still there. And then another dude walks up and comes on the porch. And there's a Ford Explorer sitting out front, parked up front on the street right in front of the house. So odds are they're squatters. So what do you do about that? I mean, I know it's not my property.
Does the seller know they're there?
The guy, he's got under contract. He knows now. But the seller lives out of state, and I don't think they know it yet because I just found out about it.
Yeah, I mean, clearly you want to notify them what's going on their property. You guys are trying to get into it. I mean, they're going to want to, I'm assuming, have authorities run by or, you know, get somebody involved. It sounds like if they're there having dinner, lockbox on the front door, I mean, they're probably getting in the back door or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I mean, he walked off the front porch, and there's a trash can on the side of the house, and he went in there and threw his trash in the trash can. So he's set up, man. He's ready to go.
Yeah.
He's at home.
Non-paying tenant occupied. Perfect. Yeah, that's the thing. Obviously, you want to be safe about getting in to see it, right? That's the first part.
Oh,
of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the sellers want to know about this because this, you know, this can cause an issue in everything they're trying to do. Get rid of the property. So yeah, no.
Yeah, it's a crappy property. The guy's got it under contract for $3,000.
$3,000.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, I got a quick question before we got to hang up.
Yeah.
Talking about crappy properties, we have a couple like that too in a bad neighborhood, and we're having a hard time getting buyers that are even willing to buy in that area. You suggest that we just kind of have a fire sale and just try to get rid of them for maybe $1,000 or $2,000 assignment fee?
Yeah.
What do you recommend?
Yeah.
Turn
it and definitely go into ListSource and put in that zip code and buy every buyer in the area. You're going to have to go back probably 2 years if they're in Pittsburgh because the data is so old, but and then see what you can do to find those buyers for sure.
Okay. I think we're going to just have a fire sale. Instead of getting nothing out of them, we might as well just try to get $1,000 or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Yeah, try and get something. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, if you can turn a deal, I mean, you'll meet a buyer. You'll go through a title company and see how they work. You'll pick up stuff along the way. So.
Sounds good. Thank
for sure.
you.
Sure. Yep. Yeah. All right, everybody.
What's up, Mike? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Zane, how are you?
Good, thank you. I got your emails. I'll try to finish it by tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, I want you to blow through step two here so we get you into three, okay?
Yes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Any questions at this point?
I'm pretty good.
Okay.
I've been listening for since 6.
Good stuff.
Good stuff, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you come on, you got to jump onto these because you're going to hear, you know, like we talked about on orientation, you're going to hear conversation from people who are where you're headed, and that's really valuable. Helps shorten the time frame, compress it with where you're going. So, anything else quick? Try and keep these to 90 minutes or a little over, which is fine. I want to make sure we get everybody's questions answered, and I know we all have lives too, so we'll accomplish both. Anything else we can cover real quick? Okay.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good afternoon or evening wherever you're at. Any other questions? Into the coaching email, obviously. Great stuff, everybody. Keep your feet on the gas. We got a lot of things popping, which is good. I really enjoyed getting on here and talking to everybody and seeing where you're at. So a lot of good stuff happening. Stay with it, and we'll chat soon. Everybody, take care.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Yep. See ya.